Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 4. We come to God's Word, that which is breathed out by Him, that which is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that not only the man of God may be equipped, well-equipped, and able to carry out every good deed, but also the saints themselves. We come to that very word which Paul has reminded Timothy that it is as he instructs him and finishes his final charge to him in verses 1 through 5 in chapter 4. Verses 1 through 5 of chapter 4. Let us pray and then I'll read the scriptures. Father, we are grateful, for Lord, there was none of us worthy. And yet now we can call you Father. Now we are the children of God, even though it does not yet appear. Even to us it seems at times, and certainly to the world, who we really are. But you've planted and given us your Spirit. And Lord God, by your Spirit you are changing us from one image of glory into the next, into conformity with the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for that we are grateful. And we are grateful, Lord God, that you have given to us your very word, the revelation of your will, the revelation of yourself, of your Son, of your plan and purposes of mercy, Lord God, of your purposes for history, Lord, of your strength and of your mercy. And we are privileged. Privileged now, Lord, to have our ears open, we pray that you would, and open our eyes to see the beauty of the gospel of you, your Son, and of your plan and purposes. Lord God, give us humble hearts. Give us eager hearts. Lord, and open ears to hear what you would have to say to Timothy for our sake as well, for you have preserved it for us to hear it and to understand it. Give me grace, please, and your good Spirit to lead me the things that I would think and speak would be understandable and faithful, consistent and conformed to your truth, that, Lord, we ourselves would live lives that are pleasing to you. For you are worthy to receive all that we can offer as you give us grace to make those offerings. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And so read the words of Paul to Timothy. As I said, this is the final charge of a section of scriptures beginning in chapter 3, in which he himself is now given Timothy instructions, conscious that the end for him is very near, the time of his departure draws nigh. And so he brings these things with a certain urgency because of that. He has already convinced him and seeking to encourage him to take that mantle of grace by setting forth his own example of faithfulness, his own example of serving, his own example of suffering. He's already set forth all of those to him, and he's warned him with regard to the fact that those who are godly will suffer trouble. As he's sought to encourage him by his own example, then he also encourages him with the authority of the Word of God, the source which he has, the instrument that God has put into his hand that he is able to use for the profit and good of the saints, of the church, and for the salvation of men. And so now he closes off in these next five verses. This is the final charge. And it opens again with this, "You, therefore, my son." And it closes at verse 5 with also, "And you." He's focusing on Timothy here as that one who will receive that mantle to pass on the gospel ministry. And so he gives him this final charge. And what I want to do is open up this final charge. Basically, it's preaching to myself, because already it's addressed to that man of God who is charged with the message of the gospel. But as you hear those things, as I speak of these things, then you will also know, I hope in advance, how you can pray for those who have that responsibility that he gives to Timothy, and pray for yourselves in terms of the reception of this word, for it has a lot of application in that way. And so I'm going to open up this charge. First of all, I'm going to open it up in five ways, and the first one is this, the solemnity, the sobriety of this charge. Gravity and glory mark it. As he opens it itself, it is very impressive. It's designed to be, because what Paul wants to do in these closing words is to make a lasting impression on Timothy of the very importance of what he's telling him. And we can really, without imagining at all, know that Paul, as he signs off in these final five verses of direct counsel to Timothy, really wants these things to be embedded in his heart and mind and be manifested in his preaching. "I charge you," here is the solemn charge, "in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom." Now, even if we don't think much about it, those words are pretty solemn. We don't hear them very often in the scriptures. It is found in the first letter as well to Timothy in 1 chapter 5. But these charging in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, this is the gravity of this. He addresses